Christian identity, Satan wants to rob us of it. And as Christians, there are certain things that identify us as a child of God. Just like policemen identify themselves as policemen by having a badge, it is equally important that we Christians have some things that identify us as Christians. And this is what I want to talk about in this sermon. God's word says there are some things that should identify us as the children of God. And the first one of them we see right here, our love for one another. In this opening text, we read where Jesus says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." You know, a person can say they're a disciple of the Lord Jesus, but that alone doesn't mean anything. Not a thing. The most wicked person on the earth could say those words if they wanted to, but them just saying it doesn't make it true. And so God's word teaches that true Christians are identified as a child of God because they have love one for another. Now you might say, "Well, preacher, there are a lot of professing Christians that literally hate one another." And I know that just as well as you know that. But the Bible tells us one of the ways we can tell a true Christian is because they are identified by their love for others. You see, everyday folks, all those people that are out in that lost world, they are looking for the badge of love that God's word says the lost world should know us by. One time a woman was asked by a coworker, "What is it like to be a Christian?" And this is how the woman replied. She says, "It's like being a pumpkin. God picks you up from the patch, brings you in and washes all the dirt off you. Then he cuts off the top and scoops out all the yucky stuff. He removes the seeds of doubt and hate and greed and things like that. And then he carves you a new smiling face and he puts his light inside of you to shine for all the world to see." But unfortunately, among many professing Christians, we can see that all the old yucky stuff inside of them has not been removed. And you can't see the light of God's love inside them. And so you have to wonder if what they got was the real thing. Because when God is inside, when you receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord, and the Holy Spirit takes up residence within you, He helps you to love even the unlovable. In Romans chapter 5, verse 5, we learn that one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is to shed abroad in our hearts the love of God. And that's vitally important because one of the ways the world can identify us as a true Christian is because we have love for others. Our love for one another is part of our Christian identity. Now, another part of our Christian identity, another thing that sets us apart as Christians is our honesty. Now, if you take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12. Okay? And when you get to Romans 12, look at verse 17. Romans 12, 17. It says, for it starts by saying, recompense to no man evil for evil. That is, you don't want to be a vengeful type of person. That's not good. But look at the second sentence. It says, provide things honest. Where now? In the sight of all men. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Now, Paul also speaks of this over in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 21, where he speaks of providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And then in 1 Timothy 2:2, Paul tells us that we should be identified in two ways. He says, in all godliness and honesty. Every Christian should be known for these two things, godliness and honesty. Christians should be known for honesty in their speech and in their dealings with others. During his time as a rancher, Teddy Roosevelt and one of his cowboys roped a maverick steer. They then lit a fire and prepared the branding irons. Well, the part of the range where they were was already claimed by a man named Gregor Lang, one of Roosevelt's neighbors. And according to the cattleman's rule, maverick steer like that, they were claimed by the person whose property they were on. So according to cattleman's rule, that steer belonged not to Teddy Roosevelt, but to Gregor Lang. Well, as his cowboy prepared to apply the brand, Roosevelt said, wait, it should be Lang's brand. The cowboy said, oh, that's all right, boss. Roosevelt said, but you're putting on my brand. And that cowboy said, That's right, boss. Nobody will ever know. And with that, Teddy Roosevelt said this. He said, drop that iron, you're fired. He said, I don't need you anymore. And then he said this, a man who will steal for me will steal from me. A man who will steal for me will steal from me. Well, today, you know, when people want something, they often become dishonest to get what they want. It's like the story about the man who was applying for life insurance. And the agent asked him, he said, how old is your mother? He said, oh, she's dead. Well, how old was she when she died? She was 41. And what did she die of? He said, tuberculosis. He said, how old is your father? He said, oh, he's dead too. And how old was he when he died? 43. And what did he die of? He died of a heart attack. Well, that insurance agent looked at him and he said, sir, he said, you're a terrible risk. There's no way you can get this life insurance. And so the man decided to go to another insurance agent. But of course, he came prepared this time. He knew what questions were going to be asked. And so they asked him, how old is your father? He said, oh, he's dead. Well, how old was he when he died? 99. And what did he die of? Oh, he fell off a horse playing polo. Well, how old is your mother? Oh, she's dead too. And how old was she when she died? 98. And what did she die of? Childbirth. Well, I know that's kind of a silly story, but you know it's got a real message to it. Because a lot of people treat the truth like that man did. They twist it, you know, they play games with it. But the Bible says in Ephesians 4:25, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. for we are members one of another. Lying is something we did before we came to know the Lord Jesus as our Savior. Once we come to know the Lord, we should be known for honesty in our dealings. Listen, that lost world out there that we rub shoulders with every day, they should be able to look at our lives and clearly identify us as a child of God. And honesty should be one of the things they see. Honesty should be seen in our speech and in our agreements and in our dealings with others. Christians should be identified by godliness and honesty. And so we see that our love for one another and our honesty are big parts of our Christian identity. And then the third aspect of Christian identity is our sacrifices. Our sacrifices. If you go back with me to something Jesus said in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, please. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. And he said to them all, this of course, that he is Jesus, verse 23, 9:23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. See, as Christians, we do not serve the Lord because it's convenient. At least we're not supposed to. But you'd never know that to look at some who profess to be saved. We are to serve the Lord, and I hope that you do this. We're to serve the Lord because we love Him, even though our relationship to Him requires that we make many sacrifices. The truth is, one thing that should distinguish us as Christians is that we are willing to sacrifice for the Lord Jesus. We're willing to sacrifice of our time for the Lord Jesus and for the benefit of others. And we're willing to sacrifice of our treasures for the Lord Jesus and for the benefit of others. And we're to sacrifice of our talents for the Lord Jesus and for the benefit of others. This is part of those good works that Jesus was speaking of in Matthew 5:16 when he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. But you see, unfortunately, we live in a society today that knows very little about sacrificing. They know very little about sacrificing for the Lord. They know very little about sacrificing for others. It seems to be all about self-indulgence these days. But I can tell you this, if anyone is going to be successful at anything, it's going to require some sacrifice on their part. And that's true of living the Christian life, and it's true of our Christian influence on others. The Christian author J.H. Goldner wrote these words, and I want you to listen carefully to this quote. He said, the prevailing tendency in the present day church is to make religion too easy. It is kept within the realm of convenience and comfort. Rarely is there a call for real sacrifice. The greatest care is exercised to spare them so that only a minimum of anything is asked of them. That certainly describes our day and age, right? But you might be interested to know that J.H. Goldner wrote those words about the church in 1926. I wonder what he would say about the modern day church. See, as Christians, we're to be noted for our love for one another, our honesty in our speech and dealings, and our sacrifices, our willingness to lay our lives on the altar of sacrifice for the service of the Lord Jesus. And then finally, we are to be known for our concern. Our concern. If you would, one more verse of Scripture, this time 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to be reading verse 28, 2 Corinthians 11, 28. But let me preface that by saying that before this, you have an account of all the difficult things that Paul went through as he was serving the Lord. His life was not easy. He definitely laid his life on the line for the Lord Jesus many, many times and went through all kinds of difficulties in the process of preaching the gospel. But you get down to 28 after he's talked about all of that. He said, besides those things that are without, he says, that which cometh upon me daily. And notice what he's talking about, the care of all the churches. The care of all the churches. Paul talks about his concern for all the churches. Now, we live in a day where a lot of folks, a lot of people who call themselves Christians, don't seem to have a lot of concern for God's church. In fact, they don't seem to have any concern for anything except recreation and the pleasures of life. For example, people today seem to have the attitude that, hey, if their job doesn't work out, they'll just go find another one, you know, rather than give their best and stick it out and work hard for that paycheck. If it doesn't work out, we'll just go get another job. After all, we live in the land where there are plenty of jobs available. We live in the land of opportunity, and there's no commitment and there's no concern. And people also today seem to have that attitude if their marriage doesn't work out. You know, they'll just go find somebody else. I've seen this changing over the years. When I first went into the ministry 35 years ago, the young couples would come to me wanting to be married, and they would actually come to me with the understanding that we're going to work at this. You know, we realize that every marriage has problems, but we're going to work at it, and we're going to stick together. But now young people come to me, and I get lots of them who come. I don't do all these weddings, but I do have lots who will come who want to be married, and they come with the attitude that if this doesn't work out, we'll just get a divorce. You know, that's the attitude they come with. Things have changed. I mean, there's plenty of fish in the sea, right? That's the attitude they have about marriage these days. No commitment, no concern. And what's worse than that is that a lot of Christians today don't seem to care about the church. They have that same lack of commitment and concern about the church. You know, if the preacher preaches something they don't like, you know, if the preacher gets up in their business and steps on their toes a little bit, or, you know, if the preacher tries to make them sacrifice something they don't want to sacrifice, then you know what they do? They just find another church. They just find another church. There's no commitment there. There's no concern there. No love for the church. You know, in Ephesians 5:25, it tells us Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Well, if he's our example, where is the love of Christians for God's church today? Where is it? See, this is a very foolish attitude for believers to have. Like the Apostle Paul, we should have a concern for the church and be committed to the church. And in 1 Corinthians 16:14, we learn how we're to treat one another in the church. It says, let all your things be done with charity. That's the way we treat one another in the church, and really that's the way we're to treat others as we go out into the world as representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ. Years ago, when a distinguished foreigner paid his only visit to America in 1950, a committee of prominent Chicago residents lined up at the railway station to offer official greetings. But the committee noticed that as he got off the train, their very distinguished guest was not focused on them. His eyes were wandering beyond that encircling committee. And something on the platform, on the station platform, caught his eye amid that crowd of travelers. And with politeness and boldness, this great man said to the committee, "Excusez-moi," and literally dashed past them. And diving into the crowd, he stopped beside an elderly woman who was staggering under her load of heavy suitcases and extra bundles. And with his big hands, he grabbed the elderly woman's suitcases and bundles and beckoned her to follow him. And he threaded a way through the throngs of people, and he led the woman to the bus she wanted to take, and he then lifted up her suitcases into the overhead rack. And bowing in a courtly manner, he wished her bon voyage. Then he rushed back to the astounded committee with apologies for keeping them waiting. And this is the way Dr. Albert Schweitzer entered America for the first time. Dr. Albert Schweitzer, the famous theologian and medical missionary from the early half of the 1900s. I read that story this week and I thought to myself, what a wonderful example of Christian concern for others. What a wonderful example. You know, much of the time, people are only concerned about themselves, but the badge of a true Christian is that he or she is concerned about others. Which leads us right back to our opening verse of Scripture. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Genuine concern for the church and genuine concern for others is the badge of a committed Christian. There's a story about Lloyd George, the former Prime Minister of Britain, who was approached by a woman after a speech. She said this, she says, "Before I saw you in person, I thought you were a much taller man." Well, he thought a second and he carefully replied this way. He said, "Madam, in Wales, where I come from, we measure a man from his neck up, not from his neck down." And the truth is that for us as Christians, that lost world out there that we walk in each week, they don't measure us by our looks or by our dress or by our material possessions. Instead, we are measured by our lives, by the things we do, by the way we speak, and by how we treat others. Someone said this about the lost world, said, and this is so true. They said this: "They don't care how much you know. They want to know how much you care." They don't care how much you know. They want to know how much you care. And I say amen to that. And so we are identified as Christians by our love, our honesty, our sacrifices, our concerns. By this shall all men know that you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God this morning and these simple challenges to our hearts. And I pray, Lord, that